Okay, Mr. Allen.
Yes, ma'am.
Could you please start by stating your full name and your ABC number?
My name is Rufus Edward Allen, 043-931.
Thank you, sir. So you're appearing for the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, and for today we will be considering general parole, home arrest, which you're already on, or absolute discharge are the three things to be considered today in this area. Okay, and we'll just go over a little bit toward the other hearing so you know what's happening.
Yes, ma'am.
So it looks like you became eligible for these, and you're currently on home arrest, but you became eligible for this on June 9th of 07.
Yes, ma'am. Okay.
And I can introduce the board, although you've been seeing us all morning. So,
yes, ma'am.
So we have Mr. King Williams on the end, Mr. Neal, and Mr. Johnson.
Yes, ma'am.
And myself. So, and it looks like you're 58 now?
59.
50 or 59. Oh, okay. Just down on them. Okay. And you're serving a 25-year-to-life sentence for murder first degree. And that occurred on June 8th of 82. You were about 22 at the time?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And you were convicted in a jury trial in 1983 on April 14th and sentenced on May 12th, 83?
Yes,
okay. Did you appeal your conviction?
Yes, ma'am. I did.
You did appeal, and it was upheld then?
It was upheld. Yes,
okay. Okay, sir. And it looks like, I know in the prior hearings, when you were granted home arrest, we've probably been over your prison history, and it looks like you had some discipline way back in prison. There was a couple of three drug possessions, but you're not involved with drugs anymore.
Mm-hmm.
When did you cease being involved with drugs?
Probably 2007, 2008.
Okay. Yeah, it looks like the last discipline, it looks like, was June 11th, 07. That was a major for drug possession. That was then while you're still incarcerated. So.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, that's good to hear.
Yes, ma'am.
It's always a good thing. How do you feel? You probably feel quite different.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel great.
Quite different. Okay. And it looks like you have been granted home arrest, and then you wound up being revoked in 2013, and that was around, what's that around?
That was around more than anything else. It was just around a misunderstanding between me and my parole officer. I texted him my itinerary was approved to leave, but we had an understanding that if I text him and I needed to do something else that was, you know, legally, of course, and in line, that he would approve it. And I had texted him, but it never, you know, we never hooked up. And then I got violated. Well, long story short, I was going to a job interview, but an officer he had gave me a ticket because I couldn't prove I had car insurance.
Oh, okay.
So on the way to the job, I stopped at the parole office first, but my parole officer wasn't there. So I got back on the bus, and I went to Rodriguez Car Insurance to get my proof of insurance, of car insurance, and then I went to the municipal court building downtown so that I could present that to the judge,
right,
that I really did have car insurance. And then when I came back, I was at the bus depot downtown, and I had called my parole officer, and he told me that, you know, we didn't hook up on the information, so you're going to have to come down here and talk to the supervisor. So I went directly to the parole office, and Mr. Scott Fleshman was the head supervisor, and he violated me.
Okay, and it was because of the itinerary violation.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Did you have a revocation that was about alcohol at all, or no?
No.
Okay. I don't see it, but I see that you were tested, drug tested.
Oh, yeah.
And alcohol, actually not negative.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. All right, sir. So you've been out since. Let's see. June of 17, is that right, June 29?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. And have job the whole time?
No, ma'am. I've been dealing with medical issues, so my family have been supporting me. Just real quickly, you know how people have buttons on their feet?
Uh-huh.
Well, I got them in the palms of my hand.
Oh.
So it's every time I grab something, it's excruciating.
Oh, okay.
And I'm in the process of getting them to knock that down, and then I absolutely will be going to work.
Okay, yeah, because that would make it hard to,
yeah,
to have to do anything.
Yeah, that's my only hindrance.
I gotcha. Okay, all right. Okay, and let's look at your... We have a progress report, and we have your parole officer here. Are you able to catch up on your fees? Are you behind?
The halfway house, my family has caught up on that.
Okay, sure.
I've never been behind on that.
Okay.
On my parole fees, I had worked it out with my parole officer. He said that some guys choose to do it in two increments, because it's just easier that way. My fee was due December 22nd. I believe my parole paper say 60 days after I'm released. So it was due December 22nd. So February 22nd is when I'll make sure that he get 65 two times.
Okay.
Because it's 65 every month. And I worked that out with him, and my family is going to take
okay.
care of it.
Okay, all right.
It's so important.
You're all squared away on that. That's good.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. So, let's see, what else was I going to ask you? Let me ask fellow board members if you have any questions. Questions at this point?
Just a quick one, ma'am.
Sure.
Mr. Allen, how long have you been actually out in the community since you were brought from arrest?
October 22nd.
Okay, so it's been about 3 months?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
I mean, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
How are you handling the transition in terms of, like, the really just the overwhelming community issues and technology?
No. For the plus for me, other than my family supporting me 100%, I have an excellent parole officer. And if it wasn't for him,
yeah.
I could have made some, I don't know why I'm getting emotional, but if it wasn't for him, I could have made some mistakes. I think one time I went to, I take a lot of different medications, high blood pressure, thyroids, and stuff like that. So, but I went to Walgreens on 27th Avenue and Glendale, but the script went to 19th Avenue in Northern. So when I went to the 27th Avenue in Glendale to the Walgreens, my time had went out. Long story short, my time had went out. So I text my parole officer, but it was, I think it was, without exaggeration, I think it might have been seven or eight minutes late. And he informed me that he understood the difference between the Walgreens, because if Walgreens on 19th Avenue would have called me, he's already let me go there before when I had to go to urgent care. But they left it at 19th Avenue instead of transferring it to 27th Avenue. And that was a mistake. And I think I only had one other issue where I went to a dental appointment and I left 20 or 30 minutes early going to the dental appointment. But other than that, I've had no problems. And like I said, my parole officer has been my right hand and my right leg. He's been helping me and assisting me and keeping me in line. And I really appreciate that.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Ms. Rich.
Sure. So you've had no trouble with at your residence. You've
no.
had no, you know, as far as other violations or anything.
No, ma'am.
Well, good for you. That's excellent, Mr. Dillon.
So I just want to just kind of maybe just make sure I get it clear in my mind. You were actually first put on home arrest in 2017, is that correct?
Yes, yes, sir.
And then you were violated, but you were violated for what you just explained to us.
Yes,
about going to look for a job.
Right.
And then we, this board, reinstated you back on it as a result of that. Is that
yeah.
right?
July 12th of last year.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, Mr. Allen, what do you do for fun? I mean, do you have hobbies? What do you like to do?
I really don't do very much for fun other than trying to tend to my itinerary. But see, most people, like the doctor told me, like he said, 1,000 out of 10 million people that do constant work with their hands will develop AIDS. Most people don't. But even brushing my teeth is really rough on me. And I really try to stay away from the opioids because of this. Quite obviously, it's an epidemic, and they keep changing it. I don't know why they keep making it stronger if it's giving everybody a problem, but I really try to stay away from that. But the doctor assured me that, matter of fact, this coming Monday, I'm going to get the left hand done, and then a month after that, they'll do the right hand, but he said you'll be fully operational after that.
Oh, good. So with the surgery, you'll...
Oh, yeah. And I have all kinds of job offers already.
What kind of work?
I'm a computer tech.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm a master mechanic. I know about bricklaying. I know about drywall. I know about plumbing. I learned all of that in the prison. So.
Good. Okay, so you've got some options.
Oh, yeah.
You have some options. Okay, so your plan is that you're going to work.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right, sir. And I see you have some supporters here today.
Yes, my niece Yvonne, and family friend Bill, and my mentor, my big brother.
Okay. So, would you like? I mean, I'd offer them an opportunity to speak if
sure.
you want them to, and you
sure.
can you can have a seat right there, just like we did before. And whoever wants to come up first. Come right up and say your name, please.
Yvonne Golden.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, I haven't been asleep. my uncle's great. I mean, when he got released the first time, I was still in junior high. So when he got off the ankle monitor, he would take me back and forth to school and do different things like that just because he was staying in my father's house. So he would kind of still take care of us when we would be there. And that's why it's like now, I'm 24, so it's like returning the favor, doing things for him, like not being able to work because of his hands, which I understand, because at my job I have FMLA for my back, and going to doctor's appointments and things like that makes it difficult. I mean, starting off that job and having to take off for doctor's appointments or having to take off for surgeries, I know it's kind of hard. So. But I mean, he wants to work. Anytime I talk to him, he always talks about working. He always talks about, hey, having these things on his hands because it enables him. But, yeah, I mean, he's
positive. Okay. Any questions for Ms. Bowman?
Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Morning.
How are you? I'm Tara Nagina. Okay. I'm the outreach coordinator and veterans liaison for Gold Canyon Heart and Home. And I happen to be Mr. Allen's mentor. I always get the rough cases. You know, I don't know why, but I always seem to get them. But I've been knowing Mr. Allen for a while. I've been trying to walk him through his house arrest because, as you know, I went through it. And, as he said, he has some hiccups, but one thing I've always encouraged him to do, at any time that there was a question, call is call. Don't, if you don't hear from him, don't move. You know, so he's been good at that. And I'm harder on my mentees than I think prison officials or parole officers, because I just don't take any nonsense. Either keep it 100 or don't ask me to be your mentor. But I respect this board and all decisions that they made. He can do better things. And I'm just here to show support. I think sometimes if people are doing the right thing, they do deserve to be rewarded. And that's why I'm here.
Okay.
Any questions?
Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you
for coming today. Is there anyone else that wanted to speak?
I think so.
No, that's it? Okay, all right. Well, Mr. Polk? Welcome. Please state your name.
Good afternoon. Patrick Polk.
Thank you.
Parole Officer of Arizona Department of Corrections.
Okay, and what would you like to say to the board? We have your progress report.
Okay, a couple of things I just wanted to maybe clarify for the record. I heard some things up here that maybe were, could be interpreted different ways. On the progress report, under his release plans, it does show he has delinquent fees of $1,140. That's per Ames. But that's not obviously since he's been released. I think that's a culmination of the other periods of supervision he had. His file does, the AIM still shows that as active, and it shows he's delinquent on those fees. However, since his return back on home arrest supervision, he is current with his current fees. As far as being arrears with the prior ones, I don't have the authority to make any determination of what happens with those. Either they'll have to go to a supervisor to be reviewed, and I think there's also some paperwork you could fill out requesting those to be have them go away.
They can waive.
Yes,
but it's something the parole administration would have to do.
I'm authorized to make those decisions.
Okay, I did wonder about that because
yes.
It's a minimum, and I'm like, what's that?
Yes. But as far as current parole fees, he is current with those. Let's see here. Rufus is staying at a halfway house or three-quarters house on Belmont in Phoenix. The only really major issue I've had, and in fact, I don't think he remembers, but the day after he got released from prison and started out on home arrest again, I had to march him back to the parole office the very next day because what had happened is he was approved to go to a specific residence with the halfway house, and I had coordinated through the halfway house. And that I guess that afternoon after he reported, they decided to move him to another residence. Well, what happened is, of course, because the ankle monitor, the halfway house didn't notify me, Rufus didn't notify me.
Oh.
And so he had a GPS alarm all night long from 9 p.m. till 5 a.m. Of course, the next morning, I got the notification that he was out all night. And of course, I was concerned and thought I had to go pick him up because I didn't know what he was doing. But I looked and saw he was at a residence near his approved placement where I thought he was going to be. And so we had to get him down to the parole office and explain what had happened. And he gave us an explanation that, the halfway house or the three-quarters house moved him to a different location, which is fine by us. We just need to know about it so to avoid these problems. So it was a communication. So I think my supervisor made it clear to Rufus that he needs to, something like this happens, he needs to inform us. It's very important because the GPS device and to keep him out of any other troubles, especially with his issues in the past with not reporting, discrepancies with itineraries and things like that. He's now completed 3 UAs. Like I said, he got out in late October. He's only been on supervision for, roughly 3 months. He's been doing fine. His itineraries are excellent. Out of the 3 or 4 people I have currently on home arrest, his itineraries are the best. He's very prompt with them and make sure that I get them and review them on time. He hasn't had any problems with UAs. I did have to remind him this week because he almost forgot to go do a UA this week. So had things worked out differently, he'd be appearing for probably a revocation hearing, possibly. But anyway, I did notice that he hadn't contacted me on, I believe it was Monday, to do a UA to get permission, because those are just kind of random and we don't know when they're going to pop up usually. So I noticed that he came by and checked the task website, his name was on there showing that he had a UA, and he hadn't contacted me. This is about 7:30 in the evening. So of course his curfew is at 9 p.m. and they close at 9, so he had roughly an hour and a half to get down to task to do a UA. So I contacted by phone and asked him if there was anything he forgot to do. And first he said no, and then he thought about it and goes, "Oh, I think I forgot to call task." I said, "That's the reason why I'm calling you. You need to go down to task and do that." It's just pure chance that I happened to look at the task website. I try to help people out when I can, but I can't be there to tell them, "Hey, you have to do check task." I always tell people it's your responsibility to check task. I do let them know that, hey, you basically have an hour and a half to get to task and do that, or else you're going to probably be speak in front of my supervisor the next day. So he promptly went down there, did it, everything was fine. So I guess that's the good part of this, is that everything came out fine. I try to remind people when I can. I don't like to normally know that, hey, they gotta go to task, and then all of a sudden they fail to go or whatever and say, you know, all right, now I get to talk to the boss to see if they're gonna revoke you or anything like that. So I try to help people out whenever I can on those things. Like I said, it all worked out good. As far as anything else, Rufus is, he has clearly indicated to me that he wants to work and he has a strong desire to work. This is, I know he's been on home arrest before and was revoked. He's been out 3 months. He basically goes to medical appointments, hasn't really gone at request. He's in the first phase of the home arrest program where he's eligible to go out, and if he wants to do something for a four-hour activity, he's allowed to do that. He hasn't asked me yet. Maybe he wasn't aware of it, possibly, but I was going to remind him today that he's eligible to go do something this month, to go out, and if he wants to go to the park, if he wants to go, you know, to a movie, I'd authorize something like that, because those usual things are not authorized within the first 90 days of home arrest. My only other concern is, like I said, I would like to see him able to work, start doing some of the normal things that I think the board expects him to do before going to general parole. I think he does have those medical issues with his hands. I know he's had dental work and things that he's had done, and he's taking care of those pretty diligently, and his itinerary reflects that. I would like to see him get those medical issues resolved with his hands and have him start working before I can really give some sort of endorsement that that he should be considered for a different type of supervision. However, of course, this hearing today about how his progress is on home arrest, he's doing what he's supposed to be doing. I can assure you of that. He's not lapsing or about to lapse into criminal ways. Like I said, he has Mukhtar Naji is his mentor, and of course, he's on general parole, and I also supervise him. I have given him authorization to have contact with him and his scope of his duties to help people that are sincere about changing their life and being productive members of society. So that would have been asked me before, but anyway, I really think that he's making excellent progress. He's on the right track, and I think I would like to see him start some employment, start being able to support him. And I know his family's been excellent about taking him places and taking helping with his fees for the three-quarters house that he's staying at. He stays busy cleaning during the day. He's very good attitude. He's one of the guys that always has a great attitude, no matter how his dental issues are flaring up or things like that, so he's been doing extremely well with that. But like I said, as far as his progress today, he has done everything he's supposed to be doing on home arrest.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Pope?
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Mr. Allen, we're coming toward the end of your hearing, but I want to give you is there anything else you've thought of? If you'd like to come up to the
yes,
podium,
one other thing.
Let us know. It's just restate your name so we know who's talking.
My name is Rufus Edward Allen, 043931. One of the things that would really help me if I could get off house arrest to general parole is, I don't know if y'all are familiar with Common Ground. They don't just help ex-felons, but you know, they help people in the community that's looking for work and particular type of work. I would be able to go to them and try to find work that wouldn't affect my hands so much. And he called me last week to inform me that they still looking at areas like that. You know what I mean? So by me being on general parole, it would broaden my prospects of being able to do different things. So that's one thing I'd like to add.
Okay. All right, sir. Well, you've sat here this morning and watched hearings, so you know what happens. The board will go into discussion, and we do that in public, and we'll just ask you to have a seat, and we'll go into discussion. Okay, so the board is now in discussion. Mr. Allen has been out on home arrest and seems to be doing pretty well. Just the itinerary issue has been a problem, and I completely understand that. I think it's probably pretty difficult to do that. And Mr. Pope says Mr. Allen's itineraries are probably the best of all on his caseload, so that's pretty promising. He does have a medical issue to deal with before he's really going to be able to work. And he's only been out for 3 months, which is my kind of concern. And personally, as a board member, I just think it would be better for him to get the medical issues behind him and have a little more track record on home arrest before he goes to general parole. But that's my thoughts.
Okay.
Any other thoughts for the fellow board member? Okay. All right. I'm going to make a motion then that we again grant home arrest. You're right, this paper is not exactly okay, and that for now we deny general parole and absolute discharge.
Second.
Agreed.
Okay, second. Mr. Neal, agreed. Mr. Johnson, Mr. Quinones. And just continue the same. I don't know that we need to follow mandatory conditions. No alcohol use, random tests for drugs. As far as motor vehicle, I cannot recall if that's on the current, but I'm not going to check that box. How about that? You all agree with that? No, obviously no contact with victim family. Buyback rules. Taking programming as directed if there's any, and then the supervision fee will continue. And I think that is it at the time. Okay, Mr. Allen, if you'd like to come back up to the you're in the discussion, with just a 3 months track record. Now, this will give you time. We grant the home arrest, and this will give you time to get your hands cured, fixed. Okay. And then we'll still be working with Mr. Pogue, and then we'll see you again in 6 months.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
So I think that the home arrest, too, is going to help you when you have the surgery on your hand, because you did mention about you trying to stay away from opioids. But it will help you. I think that'll add an extra thing in there, because when you have the surgery, you may be on some pain medication. I don't know. But I think that, being on home arrest is going to be that extra thing in the back that's going to help you, you know, stay on that. So I think that that'll be good for you, sir.
Yeah. We do want you to succeed.
Yes.
So so next time, and you said you got a great parole officer, so there you go. So, all right, sir. So thank you. Your hearing's over. Thanks to your supporters. We appreciate you. And thank you so much for coming.
Thank you,
sir. All right.
Stay safe.
Okay.